Right now, the way that I define success in this season is getting paid to do what I feel like I was made to do. That's what I feel like is success for me, is that when I go to work every day, I feel the value that I'm providing to them, to my client, to my one-on-one coach, to you right now. Like, I feel like I'm adding value, and I can only do that if I'm living in that area of what's magical about me or what's my superpower.
Welcome to Authentic Energy, a podcast dedicated to getting to the bottom of what it means to be your true, authentic self at work. I am your host, Wendy Brand, a former corporate executive turned transformation coach. Let's take this learning journey together as I meet with guests weekly to learn how they've managed or not managed to find the elusive boundaries and success in their career and what it really means to find balance. Our guest this week is Kathy Kirsten, a friend, former colleague, facilitator, consultant, and coach. Kathy has over 15 years of experience working with Gallup's Clifton Strengths, coaching and training thousands of people. She is a master at helping individuals, teams, and entire organizations align their talents and strengths to achieve peak performance. Kathy's bold and insightful coaching style helps individuals to not only maximize their strengths, but leverage the strengths of those around them. And spoiler alert, listen close and you'll get to hear that bold and insightful coaching style in this episode as Kathy sneaks in some coaching on me. Kathy has also helped teams set aside stifling problems and generate possibilities that combine their unique strengths, achieving more than they imagined possible together. I really enjoyed this conversation with Kathy. If you're not already familiar with Clifton Strengths, you will learn more about them from Kathy and how teams and organizations can use them. But what was special to me about this conversation is the alignment to one of the key elements that I believe can help someone prevent burnout. I've come to understand that part of preventing burnout is about being true to your authentic self and setting boundaries to protect your energy. And if you've been following along on the authentic energy journey, you've been hearing that common thread throughout. So I think the strengths fit beautifully into this conversation. Understanding your strengths and what you uniquely bring to the table can provide insight into becoming your true authentic self, because those are the things that can fill your bucket or boost your energy, or without playing true to them, allow your energy to be depleted. I'll stop giving away spoilers and get on with the show. Kathy, I'm so excited that you've joined us on the show today. Thank you for being here. Let's start out by having you tell us a little bit about where you've been, your career, and what you're doing now.
Well, thank you, Wendy, for allowing me to be here and inviting me to be here. I'm ecstatic to be on the Authentic Energy podcast. Where did my career begin? The meaningful part of my career began whenever I hit the career lottery in 2006, when I joined Rackspace Hosting in San Antonio, Texas. And I call it the career lottery because of two things. I got to play in roles where I got to play to my strengths, and I got to work among brilliant people around me in all kinds of different functions. And it was an opportunity to learn more about myself and the brilliance of others there at Rackspace. So that's how I started my career. In 2013, I left Rackspace and began my consulting business that I have been doing now for over 10 years, in which I help leaders build teams based on strengths.
Awesome. So you got to Rackspace a year before me. I got there in 2007, and I would agree that it was hitting the career lottery. And I was there from 2007 to 12. And then 15 to 18. So all of the experiences we had in that organization, it would take a lifetime to do those things in other companies, but we got to do it all in one place. It was career lottery.
It was so awesome. You know, and that's where I get excited when I get to talk to people who are in startups, you know, thinking about all the different hats you get to wear because the growth of the business is pulling you beyond what you can hire for. So you get so much opportunity to play in different spaces and to work with different teams. And then if you have the opportunity and the enterprising type of attitude to go out and build things, man, you can build certain aspects of your role that don't exist. And that was definitely the case for me. And two parts of my career at Rackspace that are my favorite are whenever I got to build the Racker Engagement Team, and then as well as help build the Rackspace Foundation, which was a nonprofit that we gave, that employees gave money to, that helped invest money into the surrounding public schools. But those were the two parts of my career that I felt like, man, this is like once in a lifetime type of experience. Yeah. So it's really fun.
Awesome.
I got to meet you. I got to meet you, Wendy Brand.
Aw, and I got to meet you. That was a highlight. Okay. Well, tell us, so your consulting is doing what? Tell us about your consulting business.
Sure. So I said, I help leaders build strong teams with StrengthsFinder, but really I'm a consultant and I'm a coach. I do executive coaching. I do team coaching. Most of my work is done in teams. So I'm a little bit of a trainer, facilitator that helps teams make sense of the talent on the team, utilizing the language of StrengthsFinder, or Clifton Strengths is what it's been rebranded in recent years. But most of us know it from the book called StrengthsFinder 2.0 that's been out for 20 yes. years. 29 million people have taken StrengthsFinder. And I just realized pretty early on in my career at Rackspace and what I'm doing now that I innately understand people's talents. When I learned the vocabulary of StrengthsFinder, it made a lot of sense in my brain, and I'm a maximizer. So I love helping orient people towards success. You know, tell me your dreams. I want to help you build the plan toward it. Tell me where you're feeling stuck. I want to help get you unstuck. And so this coaching role, it gives me the opportunity to work with people in many different industries, mostly in tech, I'll be honest, because of my roots at Rackspace. But, you know, I work with higher ed, I work with nonprofit, I work in small businesses. I have a whole little list of family-owned businesses that I have the honor of coming alongside. And then a lot of tech companies that are wanting to make sense of the talent they have on their teams. And they want to utilize StrengthsFinder and an expert in the area to help guide them through the process and the journey of understanding their strengths.
How exciting. You must be playing to your strengths.
I think that I am.
when I was getting ready for this conversation, I went to my bookshelf because I was like, okay, where is my StrengthsFinder 2.0 book? Oh, here it is. And when I was looking for that book, I came across How Full Is Your Bucket? And Go Put Your Strengths to Work. So I have all the books. I mean, maybe there's more, I don't know. But for our listeners that don't know about StrengthsFinder, tell us a little bit about what it is and how it's used.
Sure. So it's a positive psychology assessment, right? And you can take the assessment for $25, and it's going to take you about 35 to 45 minutes to complete the assessment. It's going to ask you 178 different questions. It sounds like a lot. It moves pretty fast because you have to answer in 20 seconds or less. And the output of that assessment is your top 5 strengths. And you can purchase the full 34 report, but where you get all of your strengths, there's 34 of them. But in organizations, to make sense of it, we usually focus on the top 5 or the top 10. And it's simply a common language to understand talent. That's all it really is. You can go really deep into how this helps you be more self-aware and others aware through the process of it, but it's just adding to your cool toolkit in your mind to describe what's right with people. Okay. So, and once you get the hang of that, just understanding someone's top 5 can tell you a lot about how the person makes decisions, how they get things done, how they build relationships, how they negotiate the world around them. And, you know, a person like me who's gotten to work with thousands of people, what keeps it fun for me is that I hardly get to meet someone who has the same top 5, you know, who has a strengths twin in their own organization, because the combinations are endless. Well, not endless for those people who are analytical, yeah. It's not endless, but it's something like 1 in 33 million people have your top 5. in the same order. So it's very, like, when you think about large organizations, when you have your top five, it's almost like your unique thumbprint in a way of your talents. And so it makes it a lot of fun, and it kind of shows us how diverse we are.
I love that. And I, you know, at Rackspace, it was integrated. I mean, it was our common language in the organization. We had the little nameplates at our desks where if I walked up to you to ask you a question related to a project I'm working on, I could see your top five strengths. And I knew that, you know, if you had woo really high, you were going to try to be influencing me and instead of me influencing, you know. So I love how we were able to use that. Is that what you, I mean, do you see, are organizations using it that way, or is it mostly one-offs, or
yes.
How are they experiencing that? Yeah.
So I have a good dozen clients probably that have embedded it like Rackspace embedded it. Every part of the employee lifecycle has a little touch of strength, from onboarding, getting them to take the assessment during their hiring process, to embedding it a little bit at performance management and how their manager interacts with them, sets goals with them, talks about motivating and developing them based on their strengths. Yes, but I would say the majority of my work is around team building and helping teams just build collaborative, cohesive environments to do more work together, to do better work, to raise the bar for themselves. So the majority of my work is just that one-off type of team. Also, it's a little bit more nimble. It makes sense in my brain. It's harder to get an entire organization to adopt it, but there's lots of leaders out there who have made it part of their leadership playbook. And as they take on a new team or get promoted into a new position, one of the first activities in the first 90 days or the first 6 months of being in that role is to, okay, let's take inventory. What talents are on this team? And how can we get to that point where we're leveraging each other based on those talents?
Okay, interesting. So, like, let's dig in a little bit to the on the individual side of it. I love the strengths conversation because it really does align with what I'm searching to uncover on this podcast. Part of preventing burnout that I'm learning is to be true to your authentic self and setting boundaries at work or in home or wherever to protect your energy. I don't know if you heard the podcast with Mary Stitch. She worked with both of us at Rackspace, and she really coined the phrase like energy depletion. We started equating burnout with energy depletion. And so when I think about the strengths and really the book, you know, how full is your bucket? And when I looked at that again recently, I was like, oh, this is exactly what we're talking about. It's really understanding your strengths and making sure that in life that you're giving yourself opportunities to be doing those things that play to your strengths. So do you agree? First of all, do you agree with that?
1,000%.
Okay.
Absolutely. And part of my departure story from Rackspace, it was a good, friendly, amicable departure. I was a little crispy in my final days at Rackspace, but I had moved through the crispy part into a very great gratitude feeling about my journey there. And I thought my journey could potentially continue, much like I thought I might boomerang like you did, Wendy.
Yeah.
But in the end, this consulting gig came available, and I'm thinking, okay, wait, yes, this fits me perfectly. But mine is a strength story. I sort of lost my energy, or one of my strengths in particular was really in friction with my current position and what was happening around me within the organization that depleted the energy of my strengths. One of my mentors called it obeying your strengths. You got to obey your strengths. And he gave me that coined term, and I named a podcast after it, right? But really, I had stopped obeying some of my strengths, in particular, the strength of belief. So I have in my top five, strategic input learner, that really just tells you I'm a bookworm. Belief, which means I have lots of core values, and I have lots of passion around the right way to do something. And then I have maximizer that just wants to up level everything and optimize and push for excellence unendingly almost. And so one of the grinds of my strengths being out of line and where it was draining my energy was around belief. As I was running employee engagement, there were other departments that were taking parts of my role and then sort of twisting it to put the process and the data above the people. And while I was A-okay with them taking my role and like living it out and iterating, because I just saw myself as the Pied Piper who beat the drum that we care about employee engagement and advocacy and feedback, I truly felt like they were doing it for the purpose of gathering data and less about creating a conversation. And Wendy, that happened for like 6 or 8 months. And when I was leaving, one of those leaders actually reached out to me and pulled me into an office and said, I'm so sorry to hear that you're leaving. And I want to know, have I been pushing you too hard? Because it wasn't like I had just laid down and said, okay, you're right, take the process and the data over the people. He knew the whole way that I was challenging him on this. And I'm like, it didn't help. I came to work every day and it was a daily grading on my belief system that of why we do employee engagement measurement in the first place. It wasn't the whole thing, right, Wendy? But there's those 1,000 paper cut situations. Right. It was a major deep paper cut that we were starting to turn employee engagement into data collection instead of a conversation amongst a manager and employee. So yeah. That's a good example of ways that it really got out of line in me and then created internal dissonance that made it difficult to go to work every day.
Right.
I have to believe and be in alignment with the leader I'm working with or working for. And if I'm not, it's almost impossible to make it work.
Yeah.
I reflect on the fact, like, if I don't believe in him or her, then I'm going to have a hard time pushing the agendas because I'm a galvanizer. I help build energy around things, and I have a hard time helping build energy around things that I don't believe in.
Right. How do you define success for yourself? And has that changed over time?
Oh, it's changed. Right now, the way that I define success in this season is getting paid to do what I feel like I was made to do. And that's real cheesy. I know.
No, I love it.
But that's what I feel like is success for me, is that when I go to work every day, I feel the value that I'm providing to them, to my client, to my one-on-one coach, to you right now. Like, I feel like I'm adding value, and I can only do that if I'm living in that area of what's magical about me or what's my superpower. I realize I could go get a job that would pay me more money, but it would give me the stress and the headache of things that I don't feel like I was made to do. And I also said season of my life, because right. I have 3 kids that live at home with me, right? So I've got a kid in elementary school level, middle school, and high school. We are stretched across 3 different campuses. So part of success for me is being available to my family. And that might look like living a life that follows a school calendar more than the fiscal year calendar. Looks like being at home every day, most of the time at 3 p.m. So when they get home, I'm here to help with homework and just connect and to build that. Let me tell you, I had no idea that I was going to be this way when I was 25. But 20 years later, I realized, like, wow, I care about being at home at 3 o'clock. I didn't know that I was going to care about that. Yeah. So it's changed quite a bit. And I think that it's probably going to change again. That quieted my ambition a little bit right now, Wendy, because of what season I'm in. There's trade-offs.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's probably a lot of women out there that probably think you can have it all. Matter of fact, I know there's women out there. They're like, yes, you can have it all. I don't know if I believe that necessarily. What, do you believe that?
I don't know, Kathy. And that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, because I want to hear from women that believe they have achieved their version of success and are finding that balance and protecting their energy. Because I don't know, it wasn't true for me, but I also think my measure of success It depends on your measure of success. And that's why I asked the question, because I think if your measure of success is to become the chief people officer, or maybe even VP of L&D, like how much personal life do you get? How, you know, can you still work out in the mornings, and can you still, you can't be home for your kids at 3 probably, you know, it is that, what is your definition of success? And then how willing or how able are you to protect the things that are important to you?
Yes. And so part of the, when I left Rec Space to be, and I said stay at home mom, because I had a 1-year-old, right? But I didn't stay at home long. It was my second kiddo, and the other one was already in daycare. We already had that routine. He was 4. We knew how this worked. And then I brought them both home. And then before I knew it, I was doing coaching calls, or I was getting opportunities to do speaking engagements. And all of that started rolling in, and I had to make that decision. I was fully prepared to make the sacrifice of, like, I mean, I'm married to a public school teacher. I was working at a tech company. I was the breadwinner. I made that sacrifice. I jumped off that ladder. We did everything that we could do to make it work.
Right.
Like, we don't pay school teachers enough, by the way.
100%. I agree. Yeah.
And so there were all kinds of sacrifices that I was prepared to make that I didn't end up having to make, because this consulting business, like what I'm known for, and just started taking off. And then it happened with ease, fortunately. Awesome. But there was a lot of things that I was willing to say, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to have this, and this is what my definition of success is. And what's interesting, what we're not talking about is, for a while at Rackspace, my definition of success was pleasing my boss.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. And that was unfortunate. Like, whoa. Unfortunately, I allowed that to be my definition of success.
No, I went through the same thing, and that's why I suppressed my own. I suppressed my own priorities in order to achieve for the organization. And that's where I burned out. I mean, that's where I, but it also, again, my definition of success was my title and my money. And so any job that I've taken where that's been the main focus, that's where I burn. And so that's a lesson for me that I've had to, learn. But, you know, it goes back to, for me, it goes back to my roots and how I grew up. And so what I wanted to be different for myself, and what I wanted to be different for my son, and, you know, all the things, it's just kind of ingrained. And so it's kind of unraveling some of that, and now saying, what do I want for me? You know?
So now that you're saying that, thank you for bringing that up, because what you just brought to mind is really important to me. What in my journey of that, I hired a coach in 2016, and she helped me unwield all of my beliefs about work. And I came to grips with some of my beliefs about work. Mm-hmm. I came from humble beginnings. I was a first generation college student, the first knowledge worker in my family. And it's different because yes. My parents sacrificed a ton. I had no idea that if we asked my parents, they'd say we were poor. I had no idea we were poor.
Wow.
I had no idea. And it wasn't because they were going into debt. It was like, I was loved and had a happy life.
Right.
As far as I knew, we had everything we needed. You know, that was the 80s. So there wasn't constant social media, and media telling me I don't have things and I'm going to wonderful places, but it's, but I did see my parents sacrifice constantly. And, I equated work to sacrifice.
Yes.
Work hard. I do love working hard. So this job is not easy. I still get burnt out. Matter of fact, call me around times that strategic leadership teams want to have retreats, particularly November and December. I'm pretty crispy every November and December, y'all, because people are, Come have a retreat. That is so psych, you know, and I'm facilitating a retreat. It is psychologically draining. And yeah. then I have to go shop for people's Christmas presents. I'm a little right. crispy in December. So I've got to take some time off.
Yes. Take care of yourself during that time. Absolutely. Right. Well, yeah, it does. It goes back to our beliefs, right? Which I'm learning too. Our beliefs drive our thoughts, which drive our emotions, and our emotions drive our actions. So it's a ripple effect. Getting back to strengths, I want to pressure test this with you. Would you say this is true? Strengths aren't what you're good at, and weaknesses aren't what you're bad at. Yeah. How would you say that differently? If strengths aren't what you're good at, why do we define our strengths?
Oh, this is so good. Wow, you're really good at this. Okay, so, because that's a subtle thing there that you got to be aware of, but it's like, that's ninja intelligence, Wendy, okay? Because so much of our world is focused on, you know what you're good at if you have achievement in it, or you know what your strength is, something you're good at. And that's not true. I'm good at event planning and I hate it. It drains me. So that's my example of like something I'm good at. I can throw a great party and I don't have any fun at the party because it's misery, right, for me. But you know what I am good at? Facilitating a workshop. And when I leave the workshop, I feel almost like I had an out of body experience. Like, you know how awesome. Beyonce has that alter ego.
Yes.
She's not the on stage, right? Like, she's not the on stage on Monday through Thursday, you know, but Friday and Saturday, I can't remember what she calls herself, but it's that out of body experience. I have that in strengths workshops. So, I feel invincible when I'm done. I feel alive. They are picking up my energy. So I always get really great reviews in that shared experience. That's an example of strength. Let's go to the weakness side. A weakness is not something you're bad at. I'm bad at math. Like, I have math anxiety. I have to use a calculator. I don't like doing things in my head. I hired an accountant. It was like the first person I hired when I started my consulting business. I don't want to do my taxes. I don't want to do my books. So I have tools and support systems around that. Does it get in my way in my job? Nope. It's not a weak. My lack of desire to do math is not a weakness until it's a part of my job that matters.
Mm.
Okay. So what could be a weakness in my position actually could come from strength. And this is why I say it's ninja level intelligence here, Wendy, because I told you I have maximizer in my top five. Sometimes my maximizer won't even start doing something if I know that I'm not going to be awesome at it. Wow. Is that a problem in my business? Heck yes. That slows me down on participating on social media because my graphic isn't going to be just beautiful. Or someone else can do it better. So why am I even doing it? You know, like, why do I even play if I can't be excellent? But just go put a LinkedIn post out. Does this make sense? Like, so sometimes my maximizer can weaken me. It sure as heck weakens people around me in relationships when I maximize their ideas. I mean, think about it. I'm mothering three kids and I'm a maximizer. I'm a maximizer mom. So they come to me with an idea like, hey, mom, can we go get ice cream on Sunday? And I'm like, not only can we get ice cream, let's invite five friends. And after we get ice cream, we'll go to the park and let's bring our fishing poles and we'll fish and we'll, you know, and it'll be a party. And they're like, mom, I just really wanted Rocky Road. Like, right. No, but I optimized it and I do it all the time if I'm not being self-aware. So it does weaken me.
Okay. Okay. That makes sense. Yes. Thank you for that clarity.
Does it? I mean, you have Achiever in your top five, right?
Yes. And Activator.
All that you just told me and Activator. So all that you just told me about when you were burning out, was it because of your Achiever loving and your Activator to go, 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 go. Get to the next level.
And my responsibility.
Oh, the trifecta.
Can you imagine? Yeah.
The trifecta.
Yeah. So it was taking on, you know, continuing to take on. I think my final breaking point, I was given all of the training teams at this organization. No one had had, like, all of these teams had never come together. I had hundreds of people reporting to me, and I couldn't say uncle. I just could not say this is too much because of all of it, my responsibility, my achiever. I wanted to do it. I wanted to be good at it and check, you know. So yep. there was a lot there that I'm having to learn that I don't have to do it all and I can say no. So sure. Yeah.
And how often does that happen for people who have that exact same strengths makeup, Wendy? I mean, because everything they throw at you, you bring tenacity. Everything that you see with awareness comes responsibility. So if you see something that's languishing and needs an owner, it's in your DNA to say, oh, I'll own that. I will fix that. Right. I mean, so think about how, and I'm not saying they took advantage of you. I mean, I don't know the situation totally, Wendy, but they're like, give it to Wendy. She has proven time and time again that she's got the energy for it, achiever, and she loves taking ownership, and she's a fixer. Activate, like, we're going to see changes pretty quickly, activator, and we're going to see total ownership responsibility. So yes. They just keep piling on.
So that, with my barometer of success being title and money, I kept getting the promotions and the pay increases. So I was getting what I thought was success, but it was coming with a cost. You know, it was just, it was just too much. And so, yeah, that, thank you for that coaching session, Kathy. I feel,
you feel validated.
I feel validated. Thank you.
And if you love me a little achiever, I mean, if they'd be an achiever in a pill, I would buy it because I need to take it every day because it's not even in my top 10. Like, some days I just don't do much because I don't have achiever, Wendy.
We'll trade someday. We'll trade our strengths.
Let's do that.
Okay.
I'll just tell you how to maximize everything. I won't actually do it.
I would love to have maximizer. That would be amazing. I am the opposite of maximizer. Okay. We digress. So yes. How do you make sure that you're not depleting your energy, especially during these busy times in your, you know, in this season of your work?
Okay. So I've had to use some support tools. Like, I block my calendar in certain times because I need thinking time. I need to be able to read good books. When I was working in the corporate world, you know, hard and fast, I had zero time to learn. I had zero time to read a good book. I would usually read the executive summary, and that's just not because I would feel like, oh man, I need to know what that book is about. I need to know the latest Dan Pink book. People keep sending me, Tabby, you got to read this book. I'm like, I wish I had time to read that book.
Right.
I need that in my life. So I block out time on my calendar to feed my brain. What else? I was thinking about it. One core aspect of this that I lost in the corporate world that depleted my energy is that I canceled anything that didn't do with work, have to do with work, because I was working so much. And so it meant like not volunteering. And that's core to me feeling connected to spiritually, connected to my community. So I have to have margin to teach Sunday school every Sunday to my pre-Kers. I mean, it's not intellectually difficult, right? I just got to be loving. I am on the school board for my public school system. That is more intellectual, but I really enjoy it, but I have to have margin. I made that amateur mistake of clearing my calendar. So because I was so overwhelmed, all that I would do is work. And I let the other parts of me languish. So yeah, that's what I do. I have to have areas of service, and I have to have time to think.
That's so important. The areas of service, I think, that giving to others, no matter what that looks like for you, is just so important. And then the thinking time and I'm doing this, you know, this is all new to me being out, on my own. And it's so easy to just come up here at 6 a.m. in my little office above the garage and work you know, I could, thank goodness my husband comes home about 6, and sometimes he'll come home and he'll like knock on my little office door and he's like, have you not come out of here all day? Like the house looks exactly the same. And, you know, not that he's expecting me to like clean the house while he's gone, but it's interesting. The roles have really shifted for us because he was doing a lot more of the stuff at home. But then when I left, he's kind of taken more of the going out to the office, you know, going off to work role. So it's been interesting, but yeah, I think those are two great points. And getting, like, for me, I have to put that on my calendar. So I have to physically block out time on my calendar, or, and I need to, I haven't figured out the service piece yet, but, it's on my list, on my achiever list of things to figure out.
It really does. It re-energize you. Right. I mean, I think that that's one of the things that's the unintended benefit of doing service stuff is that you get life back. And I mean, I was doing it because I wanted the well-being of children, or I want the well-being of a school district. But really, when it's so rewarding. That's the magic behind that service.
Yes. Piece. Yes. Okay. Well, let's get into some fun questions. Not that those weren't fun questions.
Those were fun.
All fun. okay. So what is the one thing that you do in your life that just brings you pure joy?
Pure joy. You mean like besides eat tacos? Just kidding. Okay. Well, eat tacos and pure joy. I love to play in the dirt. So one, it's probably surprising that I'm a learner. I have a minor in horticulture.
Wow.
Horticulture. And I don't use it for any paying reason, but I have in the growing months, my husband has built me a very large garden, and I try a vegetable garden and flower garden. And I even have a mini orchard full of peaches and plums and pecans. They all start with P, and a pomegranate. And then and indoors in the wintertime, I still play in the dirt, and I have a succulent collection. Can you see this is like input too? I have input strength. I collect things. I have a succulent collection and houseplant collection. So I'm a little bit one of those, like, you walk into my living room, my kids say I have too many plants. Let's just say that.
Wow.
So, but playing in the dirt, I lose myself. And I even propagate plants with water. I cultivate my own seeds for my flower garden.
Oh my gosh.
It's super geeky.
But that is amazing.
Pure joy. I haven't figured out how to get paid for any of that yet. One day.
That is fun.
Such a hobby.
I love it.
That's interesting. What do you do?
For joy, it really is, it's travel. I love to travel, and I, you know, so that's not something I do maybe every day, obviously. But I guess I would say something I do every day would be getting outside, like going for my walk, or, anything of sitting outside and doing some of my work. Just, I like being outdoors. It just rejuvenates me. Maybe I should try digging in the dirt.
Come on over to my house. I'll let you dig. Play in the dirt, girl.
Awesome. Okay. So if you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, like 5 or 6 years old, what would you tell her?
Okay. That's a good question. Now, I've already told you that I was very well loved. I mean, I was the baby of the family and the only girl. So wow. I was well loved. But I would probably go back to that little 5 or 6 year old Kathy and say, it's going to be great. And you're going to get to every dream and beyond. Right. Mm-hmm. And so dream bigger, Kathy, dream bigger, because a 5 year old Kathy probably wanted to be a librarian, because I was already attracted to books at that point. And so I knew that stamping a book would be the best thing ever, with the date it needed to be returned. That seemed like the dream job. And so dream bigger to me is like what I would have told myself.
That's great. Well, you've come pretty far past stamping library books. Not that that's not a big dream, but you...
I know. Well, that is an obsolete career now. I mean, librarian's still there, but we have barcodes, so...
Oh, yeah. Okay, so my love of travel, I told you that's, I think that's probably the most exciting thing for me when I get to travel and see new places and be in new cultures. So I'm curious, where have you been that you have really enjoyed? What's your favorite place that you've traveled to? And then what's on your bucket list?
Oh, I've made travel a priority in the last, let's say 10 or 15 years. So we try to go. My favorite place that I've ever been was Maui, and doing the road to Hana in a Jeep, because it is amazing. And this was back in 2004. So you could, before, I mean, internet was around, but exploitation of natural resources was not. Mm. We literally got a farmer's guide and took so many excursions off the road to Hana, where we were probably trespassing, and to find, you know, unique waterfalls or little swimming holes, my husband and I. And it was so beautiful. Like, God's beauty is in Maui. My bucket list place is to go to Germany during Oktoberfest. I'm a beer connoisseur. Is there a better place to go if you like beer? Oktoberfest, and I'm German. Well, I guess I'm German. My middle name, my maiden name is Schwartz, and I'm married to Kirsten, so I think we're German. And I would love to go there, or, you know, something romantic like this, you know, Paris in the springtime, because there's all, you know, pictures of that. But I think the rowdy side of Kathy wants to go to Oktoberfest.
I love it.
Have you been, Wendy? Should I go?
No.
Oh,
I have not been. Yes. I mean, I actually haven't been to, I need to just go in New Braunfels, Oktoberfest. I mean, I've been.
Okay. I just say.
I'm not a regular, like I haven't, it's probably been like 15 years since I've been. Yeah.
Okay. The first week in November of 2023, you and I are going to Oktoberfest in New Braunfels, Texas. Everyone who's watching the podcast, come along and join the worst time in Texas.
Cause it's love it. And I have to put Hawaii on my list, because I have also not been to Hawaii. So I will add it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Well, Kathy, this unfortunately wraps up our time together. This has been such a great conversation. I appreciate just your transparency and honesty and just all of the information you've shared on strengths. It's been a great conversation.
Well, thank you for inviting me. It was fun to talk to a rock star like yourself. And I wish you the best in this new transition, Wendy. You're going to kill it. I mean, whatever you decide to do, we know you're going to bring it. You're going to go all in and you're going to do wonderful. So I wish you the best.
Thank you. I appreciate you.
All right. Take care. Bye.
Such a fun conversation with strengths coach Kathy Kirsten. Here are a few of my takeaways from the show. Number one, Strength Finders is a positive psychology assessment. Organizations can use it as a common language to understand your talent. Add it to your toolkit to describe what's right with people. Number two, understanding someone's top five strengths can give you insight into how someone makes decisions, gets things done, builds relationships, and negotiates the world around them. Number three, 29 million people have taken the StrengthsFinder assessment. Number four, if you obey your strengths, you can avoid energy depletion and burnout. And success can come at a cost if you don't obey your strengths. Number five, success can be defined by getting paid to do what you are made to do. Being able to feel the value that you are providing by bringing what is specifically magical about you to the table. Number six, your strengths aren't necessarily what you're good at, and weaknesses aren't necessarily what you're bad at. Sometimes your strengths can weaken you and others around you. Number seven, areas of service is a great way to bring energy back around to you. That's it for this episode. Please rate the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
If you'd like to contact Kathy, you can visit her website at kathykirsten.com. That's Kathy with a K, Kirsten, K-E-R-S-T-E-N.com. Or connect with her on LinkedIn or check out her podcast, Obey Your Strengths with Kathy Kirsten, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to your podcasts. And I am still looking for 10 human resource leaders to receive a free coaching session from me in Q2. Sign up at wendybrandcoaching.com/free. That's wendybrandcoaching.com/free. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey and listening into the show. It means so much to me.